In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Unlike Christmas, when depending on the year we hear in church the story of Christ's birth from either the Gospel of Matthew or Luke, and unlike our Easter worship, when we might hear the resurrection story from any one of the four Gospels, on this night, Monday, Thursday, we get the same gospel passage every year. I think it's safe to say that it's one of the most appreciated and perhaps even beloved of the gospel passages in John. The story we hear tonight, each and every year on this night, is one of love, unity, and service to one another. It's clear that when Jesus did these acts of tying a towel around his waist and kneeling down to wash the feet of his disciples, it shocked his followers, because in their world, a leader would never have washed the feet of those who answered to him. It was so shocking, in fact, that Peter simply could not believe what he was seeing. He blurted out to Jesus, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" This was something Peter had never seen before, and he simply couldn't process it. We're honest with ourselves, it doesn't shock us much anymore. We're very used to the terms public service or elected officials or servant leadership in the church. We're used to presidents rolling up their sleeves and doing community service at certain times during the year. Well, maybe not all presidents, but most of them. It doesn't shock us to see the Pope on this very day each year washing the feet of refugees and prisoners. It may impress us, but it doesn't shock us. But when we hear today's gospel reading from John, in which Jesus washes his disciples' feet, and tells them to do the same for each other, and commands them to love one another, we nod our heads in agreement, thinking to ourselves, this is the essence of the teaching of Jesus Christ. Pray God that I have the strength to follow where he leads. There's something missing, quite literally, from today's gospel reading. Specifically, verses 18 through 30, yanked right out of the middle of the reading this evening from chapter 13 of John's gospel. Now let me be clear, I don't mind the folks who put together the lectionary, that cycle of Bible readings that we hear in church on Sundays and holy days. I don't mind that they took those verses out. I understand their reasoning, and I support them in their decision. I'm sure they'll be happy to hear that. From time to time, even if just once or twice a decade, perhaps we should look at what was taken out, or specifically, who was taken out. He who was taken out of this reading from chapter 13 of John's Gospel is Judas. The verses we skipped in chapter 13 tell of Jesus identifying Judas as the one who will betray him, and of Judas leaving the meal and walking out into the night. He has quite literally gone into the darkness. All that happens after Jesus has shared a meal with Judas and washed his feet. Jesus showed kindness and offers community to someone who he believes will betray him. Of course, Peter himself, who features prominently and positively in tonight's reading, Jesus is well aware that Peter will deny him, deny that he even knows Jesus, three times that very next day. Jesus loves and cares for Peter in spite of him. That we should show kindness and servant-like care to those regarded as beneath us professionally or socioeconomically is not shocking. And to love those who love us is perhaps the least we can do. As Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, do not even the Gentiles do the same. This part of the story, this part that we have to look up in our Bibles rather than hearing it in church on Monday Thursday, this part is so shocking. simply meant to always love those, love and care for those who, like Peter and Judas, deny or even betray us? Is that what Jesus is asking us to do? Because there are times when continuing to be in a relationship with someone who is self-destructive, well, I don't believe Jesus is asking us to destroy ourselves for no purpose. That would not be loving to ourselves or to the other person. But we should know that showing loving kindness to someone who's done nothing to deserve it doesn't always change that person. Loving kindness is not guaranteed to soften someone's heart or bend their ways. One of the survivors of the mass shootings at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida last month wrote about her experience with the murderer, Nicholas Cruz, in the New York Times this week. Isabel Robinson first met Cruz 5 years ago when she was 12, and he threw an apple at her back for no reason, hurting her badly. She then tried to be kind to him when she was assigned to be his peer tutor a year later. Reflecting on those experiences, Robinson writes, quote, "It is not the obligation of children to befriend classmates who have demonstrated aggressive, unpredictable, or violent tendencies. No amount of kindness or compassion alone would have changed that person, the person that Nicholas Cruz is or and was, or the horrendous actions he perpetrated. You cannot change everyone through our loving kindness." Which is why our society needs to listen to those students who marched for change in our gun laws last week. But without loving kindness, we will get nowhere. Isabel Robinson wrote, quote, "No amount of kindness or compassion alone. But we do need kindness and compassion, even towards those who suspect or know bear us ill will." What does that kindness and compassion look like? What does it mean to love those who act unlovable or downright hateful? It can mean a kind word. It can mean an offer of help. But it can also mean taking action in our society. When we saw those images last week of those teenagers speaking to the crowds in Washington and other cities, they seemed angry, and I'm sure that they were, and rightfully so. They were also speaking out of love. Love for their friends and peers and community. If we lived in a society where that killer could never have bought a semi-automatic rifle, such gun laws would have been an act of love, not just toward those whose lives would have been spared, but toward the killer himself. We can follow Jesus' commandment to us tonight to love one another. And we can follow his example by loving even those who don't love us back, by being personally kind and compassionate. That is surely where it all begins. Kindness and compassion doesn't end at our interpersonal relations. If you were a white person living in Baltimore in 1850, and you said, "Look how good I am, I don't own slaves." It is good that you weren't a slave owner, but you also would have been commanded by Jesus in tonight's gospel reading to do what you could do to actually end slavery. And that would have been an act of love to both the slaves and the slave owners, even if they had hated you. After all, Jesus loved even those who denied and betrayed him, though in the likewise.